Good year. Well, let's take a look. We've completed Baruch Hashem. Shoshana, Sersim, Echuvi, Yom Kippurim, we're on our way to Sukkos. And I thought perhaps we could share some ideas that that I think are worthwhile to discuss upon leaving Yom Kippur and entering Sukkos, as the title says. I was asked by a friend to leave the large shul minyan where I davened this Yom Kippur to make an ne'ilah minyan for his ill father-in-law in the house. In the end, we had about 14, 15 people. The shul, of course, is very large, with, you know, 200 more. I had my misgivings. After all, the Neela time people want the, you know, the last charge, as it were, and having a large tzibur together, all done together, is obviously a person's preference. But how could I say no? He asked me, how could I say no? And the davening was wonderful. And I was asked to say a few words before Marv. So this is a gist of some of the words that I mentioned, that I discussed. Let's discuss it from our point of view. We already discussed in Rosh Hashanah the idea of the four additions made by the Gaonim into the first two brachas and the last two brachas of Shimon Esrei. And then in Hodah, Tovim, and then in Shalom, Sefer Chaim Bracha Shalom Fanasatova, Nizachem Nikosel Fanecha, Nachron Chalm Kabesel Chaim Tovim Ulishalom. And we noted that which is pointed out already by the Ramchal, that in the first two editions it says Chaim, in the last two it says Chaim Tovim. We discussed the idea that Chaim is essentially attachment to Rabon Shalom. That's real Chaim. And Chaim Tovim is that needs the qualification of Tovim, is we're talking about temporal life, that life in Olam Hazeh should be good because it gives us the ability to be able to function on a higher level out of a sense of security, tranquility of spirit, etc. When life is put together in Olam Hazeh, terms and seas of Rasbi Ovid Hashem. So first we prioritize, first we're asking for Chaim, and only at the end then we talk about Chaim Tovim. Fine, we discuss that, you know. Within that light, in other words, the idea of reprioritizing and how Yom Kippur is meant to reprioritize. So here we just finished davening Ne'ilah and waiting for Meirv to start. And I thought it was appropriate to mention something that sort of reprioritizes our worldview. And that is the Meshech Chochmah's explanation to the Nusach of the intermediate bracha in the Tefillah of Musaf, right? What's the nusach of that bracha? It says, Ki atah solchan l'Yisrael, u'machlan l'shivti yeshurin b'chol dor v'dor. Says the Meshech Chochmah, that what's being referred to over here in the Chasima, what is the solchan l'Yisrael, u'machlan l'shivti yeshurin? He says, the solchan l'Yisrael, that refers to the fact that that Klal Yisrael committed the horrible sin of the Chetah Egel. So Chazal say is similar to a betrothed woman committing an act of adultery in the midst of her wedding, right? You can't think of anything more grotesque. That was Cheta Egel. And the Machlon, the Shivtei Yeshurun, to forgive the tribes who are meant to be straight, but at this juncture weren't straight, is referring to the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. And he says that these are the two, as it were, fundamental sins that are in the fabric of the formation of the Jewish people, and every generation, like it says, b'chol dor v'dor, katasol chol Yisrael, mochol nishiv teshur, b'chol dor v'dor, and every generation, we pay off a little of this incredible debt, both in terms of Einar l'mokom, Einar l'chaverim. So that being the case, I said, I mentioned that I had my misgivings initially, but how could I possibly tell my friend no? And in the end, it was a beautiful tefillah. But also, when you think about it, if really the goal of the tefillah, the goal of Ne'ilah, is really to crown Yom Kippur, then what better way than to engage in an act of Avodas Hashem, in terms of thinking of this, totally counters the Chet HaEgel, in terms of the Avodah Zarah, the going off the proper path. At that time, and at the same time doing a Maisa Chesed, which is L'chora Tikkun, to one degree or another, right? We're doing a Maisa Chesed for my friend's father-in-law. We gathered together, left Shul and made a minyan for him so that he could have a Tefillah B'Tzibur on Yom Kippur. That's a Maisa Chesed, and that's as it were, addressing the issue of the flaw in our fabric with regard to Mechiras Yosef, which is built upon Sina and Kina, etc. Okay. This leads us to a possible answer for another difficult question. And this is a question that's puzzled me for years, and the truth is I've tried to say answers to it, and I think perhaps this is a version of an answer that I've already said, but the fact is I think it became much clearer to me after having made taken note of the fact that our davening in Ela in my friend's house really addresses both the idea of countering the Egel Azav and also Mechiras Yosef. So let's take a look for a second. Under normal circumstances, whenever we talk about Yerushalayim and Tzion, Yerushalayim is referred to as the ear, and Tzion is referred to the place of the Mikdash, Mishkan Kutecha. For instance, here just one example. And there are zillions of examples. Chenis Kadesh, Shimcha, Hashem Elokeinu, Al Yisrael Mecha, Al Yerushalayim, Yerecha, Al Tzim Mishkan Kvedecha. Okay, that's, we're familiar with that. Find it all over the place in Bracha Chronas, etc. Yerushalayim, Yerecha, Tzim Mishkan Kvedecha. Okay, excellent. When it comes to Musaf on Yantif, Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, so Musaf on Yom Ramim, what do we say? V'havienu l'tzion Yerecha, Tzion to your city, Yerushalayim, Beis Mikdashcha, and the Beis Mikdash is called Yerushalayim. Now, hello, Davarbu, that's very strange. I mean, you can talk about Yerushalayim, but when you're talking in one sentence and you're referring to Tzion as Mishka, as Tzion Erecha, right? As opposed to Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha, and you're referring to Yerushalayim as Beis Mikdasha, as opposed to Yerushalayim Yercha, something is strange here. Something strange. So in order to appreciate this, if you take a look in Perek Kuf Chaf Beis in Tehillim, Shir Amalos, the David, Samach Tvi Omrim Li Beis Hashem Nelech. People were saying, wow, right, we wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, the late Sonim would pass by the window of David's palace, and they would say, when is this old man going to die, i.e. David, so that we can finally build the Beis HaMikdash, because they understood that he wasn't going to be capable of building it, but rather son Shalom was going to build it. And instead of David becoming upset with them, or taking out a machine gun and doing away with them, he says, they're right, but they've made a little bit of an error here. And that's what we will address in just a scooch. It says, Shir HaMalos LeDavid Samach B'Yomrim Li Beis Hashem Nelech. David's happy about this. But, he says, Om Dozi Raglenu V'Sharayich Yerushalayim. He switches from, right, Beis Hashem to, what do you call it, to Yerushalayim, Sharayich Yerushalayim. And then he continues, Yerushalayim HaBenu Yaki Ir Shechubra LeYachtav. Yerushalayim, the rebuilt, right, the built Yerushalayim is like Ki Ir Shechubra LeYachtav, like a city that's put together from two pieces. From two parts. Says the Alshech, that David was bothered when people say they want to, Samach V'yomim Beis Hashem Nelech, that we want to go to Yerushalayim, we want to go to Yerushalayim. I'm saying we want to go to Beis HaMikdash. And David said, Hagid Ligad Yerushalayim. The Alshech says that just like there is a Mikdash Shalmala in the heavens and a Mikdash Shalmata on Har Moriah, so too there's Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmata. And David's feeling as though, right, You were saying Samach Yomrim Li Beis Hashem Nelech. But what about Yerushalayim? Om Dosa Yeraglenu Bisharayich Yerushalayim. Don't forget about Yerushalayim. So that's why he brings it up. Don't just forget Yerushalayim. Go straight to the Beis Hamikdash. Don't forget about Yerushalayim. That's what the Alshech says. But it doesn't really explain, though, what is the issue of Yerushalayim? What's unique about Yerushalayim? That we have the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that the uniqueness of Yerushalayim is as the next pasuk says, Yerushalayim habaniyaki ir shechubra layachtov. The built Yerushalayim is like a city that's been put together of several pieces. Now, under normal circumstances, many mefarshim say the two pieces of Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim shalmata, Yerushalayim shalmala, but Chassam Sofer doesn't say that. Chassam Sofer says Yerushalayim Yerushalayim HaBniyah is like a Shia city is put together from two pieces. It's put together from all the disparate souls in Klal Yisrael, the different souls in Klal Yisrael. There has to be shalom between them, because what will it help to build the Beis HaMikdash if once again we're going to be torn apart the fabric of Klal Yisrael, which is the repository for the Shekhinah, is going to be torn apart by Chesed HaShekhinah. So therefore, right, therefore, the idea of Yerushalayim HaBniyah Ki Ir Shechubra LaYachtov, it's the all the different parts of Klal Yisrael become one, and that's what makes Yerushalayim into one. So therefore, it says the Chasam Sofer, right? That's the appropriate conclusion after we said Shir Hamalos the David B'Samach the Omer Min Beis Hashem Nelech comes this Chasam Sofer Omzoch Yeraglenu B'Sharayach Yerushalayim. We need for our feet to be standing in Shirayach Yerushalayim, not just to talk about building Beis Hamikdash. Shirayach Yerushalayim. Why? Because Yerushalayim HaBniyah Ki Yishu Chubra LeYachtav. Because Yerushalayim HaBniyah is a proper built Yerushalayim is when we're all the different people in Yerushalayim become one. Klal Yisrael becomes one. We become brothers and sisters to one another. You hear? Become brothers and sisters to one another. That's what makes it special. He says, because if we maintain the sin of Shechinah between us, what will help to build the Beis HaMikdash will just be destroyed again. That being the case, so we can understand why it is, and especially it's very interesting, why it is of all places that Dafka in Musaf, of Yontif, of Rosh Chodesh, of Yom Rayim, we use the strange terminology of Tzion, Irecha, Yerushalayim Beis Mikdashcha. Why are we switching around? Why are we calling Yerushalayim Beis Mikdashcha? Because perhaps the idea is to point out Dafka and Musaf, which is the tefillah that deals with the avoda, right? That the avoda without the chibur of Klal Yisrael is a wasted, right, enterprise. It's a wasted enterprise. It's not going to work. So therefore, we go out of our way to cause Yerushalayim Beis Mikdashcha. Because if there is no proper Yerushalayim, i.e., like the Chasam Sofer says, there's this end of the sin of Shechinah, then there is no Beis Mikdash. So Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim HaBriyah, Ki Ir Shechubra LaYachtav, is what makes the Binyan Beis Mikdash Shaykh. Now that's, I think it's a good pshat, because this is a problem that bothers everybody. And I think this is a good pshat. The Bedafka referred to Yerushalayim as Beis Mikdash, because Yerushalayim holds the key to the Beis Mikdash being built, as the Chasam Sofer says. Without getting rid of the Shechinah of Shechinah, there's no point in building the Beis Mikdash, it'll just be redestroyed. Based upon this, I think it also answers for us the question. First of all, we understand why it is that the Asaruge Malchus are mentioned in the Musaf of Yom Kippur. Because after all, we said there are two basic sins that we're trying to rid ourselves of. One is Mechiras Yosef and the other one is the Cheta Egel. So therefore we mention the Asaruge Malchus, who as the Piyut says, they were being punished in place of the Ten Shvatim. Right? In the place of the Ten Shvatim. They took their place. They took their place. Okay. So that's what you call that's a fundamental point. However, we're left with the question. Remember, we start off our whole discussion over here that the Meshech Chochma says that the two aveiros that are being addressed in the conclusion of Musaf are addressing the Egel Azav and Mechiras Yosef. And he says it relates to the two phrases, Ki'atos Solchon LeYisrael, that's talking about the Egel Azav, U'machlon LeShivtei Yeshurun. And you forgive the Shivtei Yeshurun that they didn't behave straightly vis-a-vis their brother Yosef, and they sold him into slavery. Fine. I mean, not so fine, but whatever. But we have an issue here. But Derechlal, as I've noted over here, the Rav Ram ben Agro, the Avnei Elio, in the Bruch of Slicha in Shmoneh Esrei, talks about the difference between Slicha and Mechila. Slicha is the forgiving the etzim sin, the sin itself, and mechila is the affront to kavod. So if you think about it, things are a little bit upside down here. Why is it say ki atos solchon Yisrael machlon shifti yeshurun? Why are we talking about with the in the section of the phrase that the Meshech Chochmah says is referring to Mechiras Yosef, Shivtei Yishuv, they didn't behave in a straight fashion vis-a-vis their brother. What are we talking about? Mechila. Mechila is an affront to Hashem's kavod. Mechila is an affront to Hashem's kavod. If we're talking about the sin, it should be Slicha. You hear? In every sin that focuses against the Rabbonu Shalom, so there's Slicha and Mechila. There's the sin itself, and there's the affront to his kavod. You would assume that in Bin Arma Chavero, we're not talking about a front as cover, we're talking about a sin. You shouldn't have sinned against your friend. So why does it say, Umachlon the Shifti Yishum? And that's referring to the Chait of Mechiras Yosef. It should have been Salchon, not Machlon. I hope I made that sufficiently clear. So, in order to answer that, we have to understand something which is very fundamental. And that is that Chazal teach us in the Medrash, right? One of the questions they ask us after we've left this world, right, and while in the process of leaving this world, was, Himlachta chavercha benachas ruach. Were you mamlich, as it were, did you coronate your friend benachas ruach in the way that you treated him, with a smile, with what he called making him feel good, making him feel wanted, etc. Himlachta chavercha benachas ruach. Not with criticism, not with a sour face, etc. That's one of the things they ask as we get upstairs, 120. We mamlich the Creator, and we mamlich your chaver. So that being the case, so we understand it a little bit. Just like by referring to Shalayim Beis Mikdash, because the Nakuda they want to point out is that there is no point to a Beis HaMikdash unless the Yushalayim is Ventukon, i.e. Yushalayim Ki'ir Shechub L'Yachtav. By the same token, also over here, when we're talking about Mechil and Slicha, we want to make the point that when you sin against your friend, it's not just an issue of that you did a sin. You also affronted his kavod, and his kavod is precious. Like we said, they ask us at the end of 120, right? Did you coronate, as it were, your friend Benachas? Right? Did you greet him? Did you deal with him in a covetic fashion? Why? Because he did Tzalon Elokim, and that's what the Tiferes Yisrael, the Maral, says. The Luchos Abrisa made it of two Luchos. Why two? Because the first five teaches how to deal with the one who's been coerced to Bris with us. And the last five teaches how we're meant to deal with the person who's receiving the bris, i.e. your fellow man, us. First five teaches how to deal, kol v'yachol, with Elohim, how to properly mechabed Elohim, and the last five teaches how to deal with the tzelem Elohim. So once again, just like the idea of calling Yushalayim Beis Mikdashcha, because without a tikkun to the sinas chinam, then there is no point to building the Beis HaMikdash again, because it will just be re-destroyed. By the same token, also, we have over here the idea of why it says, Machlon l'shivti yishurim, because we have to realize that when we sin against our friends, Bin Arba Chaveru is not just, oh, let's do some nice stuff here so we'll maintain a civil society. It is, as the Maral says, the first five luchos teach us how to deal with the Elohim kov yochol, and the last five teach us how to deal with the Tzelem Elohim. Okay, let's just go briefly, what do you call it, onto another point here. Mesukkos. I'm going to synopsize here. Now that we've cleansed the old personality, Yom Kippurim, Sarah Smechuvi, Yom Kippurim, it's time to rebuild a new personality based upon Tshuva Me'ava, Mesukkos. The Sfas Emes mentions that Kedushas Levi says that Sukkos is based upon Tshuva Me'ava. And that Tshuva Me'ava, as it were, becomes manifest in many areas. On the one hand, we run to take our protection, our aegis, under the Anani HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tshuva. It's called Silsa de Memnusa, the as it were, the shade of Emuna. We want to come home. I want to be home, I want to be with you, I want to experience Chaim, as we said earlier. Not just Chaim, Tov, we want Chaim. Okay. In addition, there are other aspects, right, of this Tshuva Me'ava. In other words, a more perfected personality. We want to be perfected in our connection to Hashem, and since we saw that our connection to Hashem is insufficient if there's not a proper connection to one another, So now we have the Gemara in Sukkah teaches us that all of Yisrael are Ru'uyim Leishev. Shekol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishev. Now you see here, Kol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishev B'Sukkah Achas. We can all sit together in one Sukkah. We're joined together. We're brothers and sisters. We can sit in one Sukkah. Okay. In addition to that, this aspect of Tshuva Me'ava, that we want to come home and rebuild our personality, be reconnected to Hashem. So that requires taking protection in Hashem's shade, as it were, in the Sukkah. Take care of me, my father, my king, please take care of me. That sense of complete commitment to Him. And at the same time also there is, right, for instance, Kol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishev B'Sukkah Achas. We can all sit together in one Sukkah. We're all brothers and sisters. Well, the Medrash says with regard to the Dalet Minyan, just like it's a representation of putting oneself into order. The Esrog referring to the heart, the Hadas referring to the eyes, the Aroz referring to the lips, and the Lulav referring to the spine. One has to become a whole person again. Once again, rebuilding the healthy personality. But in addition, we also know there's another Medrash that says that this represents different aspects of Klal Yisrael. The Aravos that have neither fragrance nor taste are like those people who are not so beseder. But because they're very part of the Klal Yisrael, so they're saved. They're joined together. Those are the Aravos. On the other hand, there's the Esrog that has both flavor and taste. Right? Both, I'm saying, both taste and fragrance. These are people who are their raison d'etre, their forte, is both Torah and mitzvos. There is the lulav, right, which comes from a date palm, which has taste. And that's the world of, what do you call it, the world of Torah. But not necessarily focusing as much on being scrupulous in the mitzvos, but Torah. And then finally there are the aravos, which have neither flavor, neither taste, nor fragrance. And those are the people who, unfortunately, right? Esrog, Torah and mitzvahs. Lulav, Torah, why has it got taste? Because from the lulav come the dates, and the dates have got taste. The hadasim, which have fragrance. A person has maishim tovim, but he's not steeped in Torah. And the aravos never have neither fragrance nor taste. These are all part of the rebuilding of the personality. You know, as we've shed during Yom Kippur, the false personality. We took the Seir Mishtalech, we threw it off a cliff, and said, that was not me. That was not me. That was not my identity. And now we leave Yom Kippur, and now we rebuild. We rebuild ourselves in the model of in the model of the Esrog referring to the heart, and the Adasim referring to the Inayim, and the Ravos referring to the Sfasayim, and the Lulav referring to the Shidra, to the spine. We put together ourselves as individuals. We see Klal Yisrael as all one unit. Kol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishev B'Sukkah Achas. And even when we look at the different Chalakim of Klal Yisrael, we put them all together in one Aguda. And this is when you hold all of the Lulav and the Esrog, the Dasim and the Ravos all together. And they're representative of different types of Jews. Jews with both Maisim and Torah. Jews with just Maisim. Jews with just Torah. Jews, unfortunately, don't really haven't specialized in either. Tshuva Me'ava, like Rav Levi Yitzchak says. To find myself. To find myself in my connection to Hashem. Finally, if we could just briefly, right? Talk about the Ushpizin. The Ushpizin on Sukkos. On Sukkos. Each night is different. We'll go into the order of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron Yosef and David. Once again, in the context of rebuilding, we're inviting those special people who form the fundamental fabric of Klal Yisrael. The Avos, Moshe Aaron, Yosef, David, etc. We as it were, they set for us an example if we want to put our new personality, our new Ishiyut, a new identity into place, we follow the pattern. Avram, super briefly, both taught Emuna and Gminas Chasadim. He's master of Hachnasas Orchim. At the same time, he took on the whole world to teach them Emuna. And what's clear is that Avram taught the world Emuna through Chesed. Because he introduced the world to the fact that Hashem is giving to us. He's giving to us. And since he's giving to us, unless you're riding the wave of reality, you also must be giving. You can only ride the wave of reality, which is a gush of chesed, olam chesed yibaneh. You can only ride the wave and not wipe out if you're also involved in chesed. His chesed, his gvinas chesedim, was a way of teaching emunah. Hashem is doing that. I'm doing you a favor. Hashem is doing this all for all of us. Very brief, but it can be pondered. Yitzchak teaches us Yira. Yira is not just to be cognizant of the fact that Hashem is giving to us constantly, but to realize that I can't overstep my bounds, because it's I only am because He willed that I be. Yira. Yeah, not biting your fingernails, shaking in your boots, but Yira, do I know before whom I stand? Yira. Yaakov, Emes, and these are all aspects, the Ushpiz, and each one brings as a present when he comes to visit us. Right? On Sukkot, he brings with himself a present which is his identity, which is his forte in the world of Torah, mitzvahs, avod, and ma'asim tovim. And he says, take this. You want to rebuild yourself. You shed the false self when the Shir Meshalech was thrown off the cliff on Yom Kippurim, but you need to rebuild yourself. Tshuva me'ava. On Sukkot, Avram, Emun and Gvis Chasarim, Yitzchak, Yira, Yaakov, Emes. You need to be able to color every aspect of your life with your connection to Hashem. That's only can be done through the Emes, which is the Torah. Yaakov, Ishtam, Yoshev, Olim. The only way to maintain this connection so that you never falter and never fall back into old patterns is only through Torah, which has the ability to translate every experience, every object, every relationship that I have in this world into a reflection of the great, great crystal called Torah as the light of the world passes through it. Moshe taught us a certain attitude towards being medaktik b'halacha. Moshe, even his the litigation cases that come before him, his klal, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Yikov Adina Sahar, let the strict judgment penetrate the mountain. In other words, we're not going to make any compromises over here. We're going to find out who's right, who's wrong. Aaron, according on the other hand, was Oyev Shalom, Rodo Shalom. He was always in favor of compromise. No, Maisa Behil Azakin tells us we spent to follow Aaron. Hil Azakin says in Pirkei Avos, "Having been talmid of Shalom Akoin, Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oev Shalom, Brizma Karam in the Torah." Hil Azakin paskins that we should follow Aaron, but we need the concept of Moshe. Certainly, when it comes to keeping halacha, when we're not talking about civil cases, but the idea of an exactitude of do it properly. This is a mitzvah. Do it 100% properly. Don't do a sloppy job of it. And Aaron teaches in our attitudes of one another. Be Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ben Al Chaveru. If necessary. Easier said than done. I'm not saying it's easy. Yosef, finally. Yosef, what typifies Yosef is his Kedusha. Kedusha's Abris. Doesn't fall prey to the, what do you call, to the challenges of his time with Eishes Potiphar and to modern man. It's all over the place. At the same time, Pasuk says, Tov ayin yivarach, ki nasam elachmo ladal. Tov ayin, let the one who has tovas ayin be blessed, for he has given of his bread to the poor. Says the Medrash, who is that? Yosef. Yosef fed his brothers and their families. They tried to kill him. They tried to destroy him. They sold him to slavery. Tov ayin yivarach. He's a good eye. He's a good eye. He doesn't look at somebody cockeyed because even they tried to do him harm. And finally, we come Hoshana Rabbah, remember the Kfitlach are being given over. The Piskei Din that we arrived at the end of Yom Kippurim are given over. And who would be a better guest to our sukkah that night than David HaMelech? Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael. Ve also Hekim Ulo Shel Tshuva. Hekim Ulo Shel Tshuva. These are the two things it says in the end of Shmuel Beis. He's called, David refers to himself as Ne'imz Mi'Yisrael, and, right, and he's Ne'uma Gever, Hukam Al. He's raised above all, but it's a funny terminology, because I'll say Hukam Al is a reference to Hekim Olo Shel Ulo Shel Tshuva. David teaches us. He knows how to sing. His name is Zmiris Yisrael, even when you need to Zem Zmiris and Loshon Lil Sizmor, to prune away the wrong way of relating to difficult moments. Times of din, times of Hashem's din with us, and where are we going, and what's happening, and why is this happening? Ne'im Zmir Zizol, he's able to put this to song, he's able to, as it were, dispel any false notions we might have about this, and to properly accept it. He knows how to sing not only songs of jubilation, of Hallel, but also songs of Zmiros, to prune away any wrong attitude. Ne'im Zmir Zizol, and he is Ne'um HaGever, Hukam Al, Sheheikim Ulo Shel Tshuva. He raised up the yoke of Tshuva. No one experienced a greater fall than David fell. David was the master of Ruach HaKodesh. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu is the master of Nevuah, the master of Ruach HaKodesh was David. And with the Ma'aseh Vayeshev, the bottom fell out. But he picked himself up. Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kam, it says. Yeah, the tzadik may fall seven times, but the way he raises himself up each time, that's what makes him into the biggest person that he is. So David teaches us how to sing, even about things that are difficult, and teaches how to do tshuva. So, I dare say that if we stripped away the false personality of our essence through Rosh Hashanah, Seres Mitzvah, Yom Kippurim, and Sukkos, we proactively come as we sit in the tzeil of the Emun of Hashem. We rely upon Him. We're deathly afraid not to mess up again, as we rely upon Him, as we place our trust in Him. We sit in the tzeil of His emuna. We sit in the shade and the protection of His emuna. We invite our Rishpizin one every day, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and finally David, to learn how to rebuild the persona that we want to be ours, as true Ovdei Hashem. So we shall have a good Shabbos. And Be'ezer Hashem, a good Kibbutz Dior, and a very simchadik, in the Torah sense, very simchadik Sukkos.